The LifeSpring family of podcasts is brought to you in part by AMD Live. AMD Live brings digital entertainment to life. Hello and welcome to the LifeSpring Family Bible, episode number 79. Today we're reading Numbers chapters 21 through 23. Let's begin. Numbers chapter 21. When the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was approaching along the road to Atharim, he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoner. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver this people into our hand, then we will utterly destroy their cities." The Lord listened to the voices of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of the place was called Hormah. Then they traveled from Mount Hor by the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient along the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread or water, and we detest this worthless food." So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit the people. Many people of Israel died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he would take away the snakes from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous snake and set it on a pole. When anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, so that if a snake had bitten someone, when he looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Then the Israelites traveled on and camped in Oboth. Then they traveled on from Oboth and camped at Ai Abarim, in the wilderness that is before Moab, on the eastern side. From there they moved on and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved on and camped on the other side of the Arnon, in the wilderness that extends from the regions of the Amorites, for Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. That is why it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, "Waheb in Suphah and the Wadis, the Arnon and the slope of the valleys that extends to the dwelling of Ar, and falls off at the border of Moab." And from there they traveled to Beer, that is the well where the Lord spoke to Moses, "Gather the people, and I will give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing to it." The well which the princes dug, which the leaders of the people opened with their scepters and their staffs. And from the wilderness they traveled to Mattanah, from Mattanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley that is in the country of Moab, near the top of Pisgah, which overlooks the wilderness. Then Israel sent messengers to King Sihon of the Amorites, saying, "Let us pass through your land. We will not turn aside into the fields or into the vineyards, nor will we drink water from any well, but we will go along the king's highway until we pass your borders." But Sihon did not permit Israel to pass through his border. He gathered all his forces together and went out against Israel into the wilderness. When he came to Jahaz, he fought against Israel. But the Israelites defeated him in battle and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the Ammonites, for the border of the Ammonites was strongly defended. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel settled in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon and in all its villages, for Heshbon was the city of King Sihon of the Amorites. Now he had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all of his land from his control, as far as the Arnon. That is why those who speak in Proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be established. For fire went out from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You are ruined, O people of Chemosh. He has made his sons fugitives and his daughters the prisoners of King Sihon of the Amorites. We have overpowered them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. We have shattered them as far as Nophah, which reaches to Medeba." So the Israelites lived in the land of the Amorites. Moses sent spies to reconnoiter Jaazar, and they captured its villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up by the road to Bashan. And King Og of Bashan and all his forces marched out against them to do battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to Moses, Do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand. You will do to him what you did to King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon. So they defeated Og, his sons, and all his people, until there were no survivors, and they possessed his land. Numbers chapter 22. The Israelites traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that the Israelites had done to the Amorites, and the Moabites were greatly afraid of the people because they were so numerous. The Moabites were sick with fear because of the Israelites. So the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "Now this mass of people will lick up everything around us, as the bull devours the grass of the field." Now Balak, son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at this time. And he sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, at Pethor, which is by the Euphrates River in the land of Ammah, to summon him, saying, "Look, a nation has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are settling next to me. So now, please come and curse this nation for me, for they are too powerful for me. Perhaps I will prevail, so that we may conquer them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fee for divination in their hand. They came to Balaam and reported to him the words of Balak. He replied to them, "Stay here tonight, and I will bring back to you whatever word the Lord may speak to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent a message to me, saying, 'Look, a nation has come out of Egypt, and it covers the face of the earth. Come now, and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps I will be able to defeat them and drive them out.'" But God said to Balaam, "You must not go with them. You must not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam got up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your land, for the Lord has refused to permit me to go with you." So the princes of Moab departed and went back to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to come with us." Balak again sent princes, more numerous and more distinguished than the first. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, son of Zippor, please do not let anything hinder you from coming to me, for I will honor you greatly, and whatever you tell me, I will do. So come, put a curse on this nation for me." Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, "Even if Balak would give me his palace full of silver and gold, I could not transgress the commandment of the Lord my God, or do less or more. Now therefore, please stay the night here also, that I may know what more the Lord might say to me." God came to Balaam that night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, get up and go with them. But the word that I will say to you, that you must do." So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey turned aside from the road and went into the field. But Balaam beat the donkey to make her turn back to the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a path among the vineyards, where there was a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she crouched down under Balaam. Then Balaam was angry, and he beat his donkey with a staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have beaten me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "You have made me look stupid. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am not I your donkey that you have ridden ever since I was yours until this day? Have I ever attempted to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. So he bowed his head and threw himself down with his face to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came out to oppose you because what you are doing is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. If she had not turned from me, I would have killed you, but saved her alive." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood against me in the road. So now, if it is evil in your sight, I will go back home." But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you may only speak the word that I will speak to you." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at a city of Moab, which was on the border of the Arnon at the boundary of his territory. Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send again and again to you to summon you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now am I able to speak just anything? I must speak only the word that God puts in my mouth." So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. And Balak sacrificed bulls and sheep, and sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. Then on the next morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him up to Bamoth Baal. From there he saw the extent of the nation. Numbers 23. Balaam said to Balak, "Build me 7 altars here, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." So Balak did just as Balaam had said. Balak and Balaam then offered on each altar a bull and a ram. Balaam said to Balak, "Station yourself by your burnt offering, and I will go off. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you." Then he went to a deserted height. Then God met Balaam, who said to him, "I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram." Then the Lord put a message in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak and speak what I tell you." So he returned to him, and he was still standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. Then Balaam uttered his oracle, saying, "Balak, the king of Moab, brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, 'Come, pronounce a curse on Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel.' How can I curse one whom God has not cursed? Or how can I denounce one whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see them, from the hills I watch them. Indeed, a nation that lives alone, and it will not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let the end of my life be like theirs." Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but on the contrary, you have only blessed them." Balaam replied, "Must I not be careful to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?" Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place from which you can observe them. You will see only a part of them, but you will not see all of them. Curse them for me from there." So Balak brought Balaam to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, where he built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And Balaam said to Balak, "Station yourself here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord there." Then the Lord met Balaam and put a message in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak and speak what I tell you." When Balaam came to him, he was still standing by his burnt offering, along with the princes of Moab. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" Balaam uttered his oracle and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it happen? Indeed, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not looked on iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. His acclamation as king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have, as it were, the strength of a wild bull. For there is no spell against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At this time it must be said of Jacob and of Israel, 'Look at what God has done.' Indeed, the people will rise up like a lioness, and like a lion raises himself up, they will not lie down until they eat their prey and drink the blood of the slain." Balak said to Balaam, "Neither curse them at all nor bless them at all." But Balaam replied to Balak, "Did I not tell you all that the Lord speaks I must do?" Balak said to Balaam, "Come, please, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God to let you curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor that looks toward the wilderness. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars here for me and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams." So Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. One thing you can say about Balak is he doesn't give up easily, does he? Come on back tomorrow and we'll see what happens. Before we go, I hope you don't mind if I just mention AMD for just a second. If you'll go to the show notes page at lifespringpodcast.com and click on the Family Bible icon, you'll find a banner ad there for AMD. I would really appreciate it if you would support the show and AMD by clicking on the button there. AMD has a great new product called AMD Live. I've been an AMD fan for well over 10 years. I've been using computers with AMD processors for at least that amount of time, at least 10 years. I believe in AMD, I believe in what they do, and actually the LifeSpring family of podcasts is the first actual podcast sponsorship that AMD has done. So please, support them, click on the link, take a look at what they've got over there. They've got some great products, not just chips, but some great software, some great family software, some great free family software that I think you'll really enjoy. Thanks for giving me these few seconds to talk about our great new sponsor. I appreciate it. And so I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until then, I'm Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.